Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And thanks to the help we get from Dan Burns, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'll keep it running. We'll help you keep it running. Dan will. He's the master, and he's been helping us out, helping you out here on CCO for many, many years. So if you do have any kind of questions about your vehicle before you, if you feel you need to take it in to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, call in or text in. Dan will give you some idea of what might be wrong with it. Car, truck, van, whatever the case may be. Good morning to you, Dan Burns.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again. You have I'm sure this has got to be a busy week for a lot of shops, including yours.
Well, it is. We got our warning, didn't we, that winter's really going to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good news is now we have we're getting a little break.
A little break.
I heard the weather forecast, and it sounds like we're going to get a break. So hopefully we can all get caught up and get our plans made to get our cars serviced.
Be more proactive.
Before the Thanksgiving holiday that we're all traveling. So
yeah, and that's coming up. Hard to believe.
Well, it's actually, when you think about it, it's not very far off.
So no.
If you're thinking about getting your car serviced before Thanksgiving, it's starting to get late.
Yeah.
You better get that on the schedule.
Well, if you have a question you want to ask Dan, as I said, you can call it in or text it in. Same number applies to either the phone call or text. And that number is 651-989-9226. I had to laugh because you and I from time to time talk about tire pressure. So a few days ago, I thought the cold the pressure on my car is at 33 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I thought, okay, what I'm going to do, because it's colder weather's coming in, I don't want to get below that. So I'll kind of overinflate it. So I made each tire 40.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking it's going to back up. Well, the temperature changed.
It warmed up on
it
you.
It warmed up. So it's increasing even more. Is that dangerous, by the way?
No. No. Okay. No. In fact, I do the same thing. When people come in this time of year to get air in their tires, I do put extra in. I don't put 6 pounds extra or 8 pounds in extra. I put but I'll put a couple extra, because otherwise, just in January, they're just going to be back.
Yeah.
The light will be back on. And in the old days, we didn't know, we didn't have lights. We didn't know this. The air pressure has always changed like that. But
yes,
we just didn't know it before. And the tire pressure monitoring system didn't warn us that it was happening. And I wish it didn't warn us. It did.
But for vehicles that have those things in the tire, they're sensors. They're battery operated, are they?
They are battery operated,
yeah, okay.
And they do fail from time to time.
Okay.
Although they're incredibly resilient, we obviously saw a lot of them because there's millions of them on the road.
Yeah.
But considering how many cars have those and how old some of the cars are that have them, we don't change very many of those sensors. So it's,
I think you're right, because the car
really hold up.
Car Tony's driving is 10 years old.
Right.
And I don't think we've had to change that at all. Change tires.
Right.
In fact, you changed the tires.
Yeah.
But all right.
They hold up good.
They do. All right. Let's get to it. If you have a question for Dan for your vehicle problem, call it in, text it in, 651-989-9226. I'll tell you what, Barry is calling from Egan, I think. Barry, what's your question for Dan?
Several months ago, maybe 6 months ago, Dan was talking about deposit buildups on valves, and maybe specifically turbocharged engines. And he was making the comment that one of the reasons for that was that the fuel with the cleaning additives doesn't touch that part of the valve, and therefore they don't get cleaned. And then made the comment that one way to avoid it is to use high-quality fuel. And so I was trying to understand the difference. If the fuel doesn't touch it, what difference it makes to use high quality fuel?
Well, I agree with you. It doesn't make any difference. What you're talking about is direct injection, where the fuel is directed directly into the intake manifold or directly into the combustion chamber. And the high quality fuel, I don't know why I said that. The high quality fuel on most of those cars, including my wife's car, the car asks for premium fuel, and as just in the journals and so forth that I've read, if the car asks for premium fuel, you should use it. Once again, it's designed for it. It's manufactured and engineered that way, and you should use that. But no, what you're saying is exactly right. If the fuel is not getting sprayed on the backside of the valve, it'll do nothing to keep the carbon off the valve. Mm-hmm. So best thing you can do is keep everything clean. Keep the oil clean. Keep the vehicle serviced the way that it's supposed to be properly serviced.
Yeah, especially
use premium fuel because the manufacturer recommends it. But no, it does not. The premium fuel, the regular fuel, does not spray on the backside of the valves on a direct injected engine.
All right. Good point. Thank you, Barry. Let's see. Who is next? Let's talk to Richard. Richard's calling in from Minneapolis. Richard, you're on CCO.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'm calling about my daughter in California who has a 2000, I believe it's 15 or 16, Toyota Highlander. And she has this occurring where it will race like it's in neutral when she's in drive, going to several thousand RPM, and she took a video of it and brought it into the dealer. And, of course, then they say, well, we can't reproduce this. It's not occurring. But it concerns me about this lawsuit that happened for Toyota in St. Paul, where the gentleman went to jail for his car racing and going in drive. If this were to go into drive at that many RPM, she'd be totally out of control. It tends to happen, she believes, in the morning when she's kind of going up a incline or a hill. But she sent me the video, and maybe I'll have to bring the video in to Lloyd's to show you. I just cannot believe that wouldn't show up on their diagnostics.
Hmm. Well, unfortunately, it won't show up on their diagnostics if they can't get it. If they can't get it to act up, and there's a whole bunch of things that are inputs to idle control. And, of course, the computer is in charge of the idle control. For example, if the air conditioning turns on, it turns up the idle. If the power steering binds up or needs extra energy, the idle turns up in cold weather. You start the vehicle in the morning, the idle turns up, and the computer is capable of doing that. And so if it's getting a false input, that certainly would cause it. Or if the controller, if the idle speed controller is not working properly, or if there's a problem, a software glitch in the computer that's causing it. But I do agree that if I can't experience it, it's going to be really hard for me to point to anything that would be causing this because it. You know, when I'm looking at it, it's all going to check normal. And the car, obviously the check engine light's on, so the car didn't store a code, so there's no information to go with there to even start an educated guess. So I know that's frustrating.
I should say.
That's not a good answer to help with the problem. But
would you try another shop?
I'd have to. What usually happens with something like that is we end up keeping the car for a while.
Okay.
And that's a little tricky depending upon the season, too. If anybody's going to be willing to spend enough time with it or be able to spend enough time with it to get it to act up, to get the information that we need.
But that's what you would do at Lloyd's. Keep it.
We would put the scan tool on the car. When it's actually acting up, we can push a button and take a picture of what's happened before and after the experience, and then bring it back and put it on our computers, and we can watch all of that data. But if it happens very infrequently, that's hard to see.
Oh, I guess frustrating. Yeah. Well, good luck with that, Richard. Good luck to her. I tell you what, we need to take a break. We have more show to come, so don't go away. We have callers, we have texters. We'll help out as soon as we're back from the break. Welcome back to our Car Care Show here on CCO. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located where, Dan?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. Grand Avenue is starting to get decorated up for the holidays and starting to look pretty. So
it's Grand Avenue.
Yeah,
it really is.
Come on over and see us and Grand Avenue. There's a lot to see there. So, or you can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call as early as this morning, 651-228-1316.
Excellent. We'll get you that phone number before Dan leaves us. He's going to be here for about another, 15, 16 minutes or so. Shirley has a question. Shirley's calling from Eden Prairie, I believe. Shirley, go ahead, please.
My daughter freaked out with the temperature of this week, and so she's looking at putting a car starter on a 2007 Subaru. And I have heard that sometimes that could screw up the electrical system. And my son had one, and his after about 9 months, it stopped working. What are your thoughts on these car starters?
I want one too.
I love it.
No, that's one of the benefits that we get to enjoy in this weather. And honestly, the manufacturers have gotten really, really good at being able to integrate the car starter into the vehicle. And lots and lots of cars that come into Lloyd's have the remote start. They're fabulous. You can even get them now where they're attached to your iPhone, and you pay a little subscription, and you can start it from anywhere in the world, honestly.
Wow.
Which is really nice. But at any rate, no, they've gotten very efficient with them. I would check with the manufacturer, like the Subaru dealer, and ask them what brand they sell. You know, maybe you just want to have it done there, have it installed there. But they're pretty much just plug and play now, where they're integrated in, and they don't have to do a bunch of splicing and that sort of stuff. So buy a good quality one that the manufacturer recommends, because then the car will work well with it. And but I think it's a great idea. And like I say, I want one too.
All right, good. Thank you, Shirley. Tom is calling from Lake Elmo. Then we'll have to take a quick break. Tom, what's your question for Dan?
Okay, I have an older Pontiac GTO, 1966, and it the tachometer when you turn it on, it goes to about 800 RPM. So the tachometer is working; it's live. Something's in there working. But then when you're going down the road, the needle goes to about just over 1,000, and there it stops. And it doesn't make any difference how fast you're going or how many RPM are really running through that that being produced by that engine. It doesn't go above about 1,100 or 1,200. So I'm wondering how hard or what would you guess is the problem with that tachometer, and where – I guess I don't know what the tachometer is reading. Where does it connect to? Where is it reading from? Is it the?
Oh, he had to leave.
I know where his question was going.
Okay, sure.
Yes, the tach does attach to the negative side of the ignition coil. Back in the day, when we used to read dwell for points and all of that sort of stuff, we'd hook up a wire. One wire went to the negative side of the coil, the other side went to a ground, and you could read the tach, the dwell, and all that sort of stuff on a single meter. And so really all that's going on is you have a wire running from your coil to the tach, and then the tach is grounded somewhere. Either one of those, it could have a bad ground. That certainly would cause it. That'd be the first thing to check. But it's just a two-wire deal, very, very simple. And if the wiring is good, then the tach has failed, and that's what you need to do is replace it. It'd be easier for me. I would just hook my tach up to your wires, and read it, and if then I know the wiring's good, and if that's the case, then I would replace the tach.
The tach. All right, yep. We need to take a quick break here. We'll be back. So hang on. Dan will be here for about another 12 minutes or so. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny along with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Oh, my. We have callers. We have texters. In fact, I'm gonna get to the calls in a second, but a texter sent one in earlier, and I know the texter is listening. Good morning. I'm texting early. You'll be driving. 2012 Ford Escape. The blower motor only works on level four. 1, 2, 3 does not work. They don't work. Can I do any triage or does the motor need replacing? If yes, how complicated slash expensive would that be? Does the dash need to come off? Again, it's a 2012 Ford Escape.
Yeah, no, it's the blower speed resistor that has failed, and it's behind the glove box somewhere in the heater box, or, you know, on the outside of the heater box, so you have easy access to it. And when the blower motor's on high speed, it runs directly from the fuse to the blower motor. When it's on any of the other speeds, it needs to go through this resistor to turn down the electricity. And that's how the speeds are lowered. So the resistor has failed, and you need to replace it.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Mike is calling from Springfield, I believe. Mike, you're on with Dan.
Hey, Dan. Morning. How you doing?
Good.
Couple quick questions. One is I got an 05 Chevy Silverado 5.3. It runs synthetic blend oil in it. When you start it up in the morning, it'll say low oil pressure. But the second it gets warm, it'll run good. And then also, can you run a higher blend of ethanol? And the next question is on a 98 Chevy pickup, Chevy Silverado, you turn the fan on, you can hear the fan blow all kinds of air. But when you move your foot to defrost, to the vents, it don't do nothing. But you look underneath the dash, and you can see that rod go back and forth.
Yeah. On the old truck with the blower motor, I'm thinking that the air conditioning evaporator has leaked a little bit, and it gets clogged up with dust and debris and cotton and all that sort of stuff, so there may be no air going through it. In other words, the fan's running, but it's not blowing anywhere. And I can't even remember exactly what the other question was.
The oil.
When you start it up and the oil pressure is not good, that's not good. I hope it's the gauge, but more likely it's the something in the engine itself. And you'll have to decide if you want to live with it that way or not. But the test would be then, the test that we would do and you should have done is to leave the vehicle at the shop overnight, have them hook up all the oil gauges so that we can have a real mechanical gauge on the vehicle when we start it in the morning. Start it and see what the oil pressure is really doing. If the oil pressure is really low on cold startup, then, you know, obviously there's something going on.
Yeah.
With the oil pressure, with the engine or the oil pump or a valve or something like that, that would need to be figured out. If the oil pressure is not low on startup, then the gauge isn't working right, and you'll need to get the gauge repaired.
Almost out of time, Dan. I want to grab some text messages, and maybe we'll do a quick lightning round here. What is causing my check gas cap light to constantly go on? I take it off, put it back on, spin it around. Is that an issue?
Well, check gas cap means that you have a leak in your evaporative system. The gas cap would certainly be one source of that, but there's a whole bunch of other things, other places that it could be leaking. The fuel system could be leaking, or the evaporative system, not the fuel system, but the air portion of your fuel system could be leaking. And we've talked about this where the mice will get under there and chew on this little plastic hoses.
But they like them
for some reason.
You and your guys could check that out.
It's just a test procedure.
Okay. One more. 2008 Subaru Outback. When I take the foot off the gas, there's this winding down sound. Sounds like an airplane descending. What could that be?
Well, usually that sound is coming from one of the bearings. Your drive belt runs on several different pulleys and bearings and idler pulleys and so forth. And usually when you get that whiny sound coming from the engine, it's one of those bearings that is starting to fail. You should bring that in pretty soon and get that checked, because if one of those bearings fails completely, the serpentine belt will shred, and then your alternator won't turn and your water pump won't turn. And, well, I guess the water pump will still turn on a Subaru, but the alternator won't turn. The components won't turn, and then it makes it difficult and sometimes impossible to drive.
Well, if you're in that case, the position, and you want to get to Lloyd's, how do we get in touch with you guys?
Come on over is the best way. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1313. 16.
Excellent. We'll have another show next week, right?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.